It's Thursday, October 6, 2022. Today we continue building our scope for the various Greek words that are translated as some form or some type of prayer. You know, we use words like prayer, supplication, intercession, petition, request. We use these interchangeably, but there are specific nuances to the Greek words behind those interpretations, those translations. And they are worthwhile for us to understand, but least of all for the purpose of correcting others. Should one say intercession when it would be more accurate to say supplication, something like that? You know, God delights in our coming to Him heart to heart to commune with Him. And the simplest definition for prayer is talking to God. So anytime we talk to Him with a greater clarity of understanding, you know, we can only be the better for it. Being aware of the versatility in the meanings for the words for prayer helps keep us mindful of the many conversations we can have with our Father. They each have their own little personality, per se. They have their own little place. And it really does make our prayer life versatile and our time with the Father interesting and enjoyable. You know, we see there is nothing mundane about prayer. Our prayer life is extraordinary, and it is spiritually divine. So the prayer word we'll look at today is Strong's number 1162, DECIS, D-E-E-S-I-S, which is a noun. And then Strong's 1189, the verb form, is diomai. When the noun is used, DECIS, prayer is the subject of the sentence. When the verb form is used, we're now referring to the act of praying. And the definitions for each of these words, whether it's the noun or the verb, they carry the same essence in their definition. It's just that one is the subject and one is the verb or the doing of it. The noun form refers to urgent request to meet a need. That's the subject. This type of prayer is an urgent request to meet a need. These requests arise from one's sense of need and knowing what is lacking. The plea is made for the supply. We don't stand there and tell him how bad the problem is. No, we know that the request arises from our sense of need and knowing what is lacking. It's made for the supply. It is the genuine entreaty and supplication most of the time before God. There are records where, I think in Acts, where Paul asks of the different rulers that he goes before to give his testimony and his account of his life. And he makes a plea with them. But in prayers, it's always, of course, to God. Many of the research definitions do say that these requests are exclusively addressed to God, but you can tell in the context. If it's prayer to God, then it's prayer to God. If it's asking, if it's beseeching or begging a human individual on this planet, then, of course, it's not exclusively addressed to God. Word of warning, as we read the occurrences, the verse will verify the definition. You know, the point to be made is that we read the word and refer to the study aids. We don't read the study aid or read the commentary or read any other assisting paraphernalia around the word, but we read the, you know, we read the word. We don't we don't read the study aid and then refer back to the word. Sometimes it's a combination. But my point is, the word first. That's where we begin. The verb form of this word, diomai, indicates asking for something almost with a sense of pleading, because there is a sense of urgency for the need to be supplied. It means to ask in prayer, to pray earnestly, but the emphasis is on the request for a need to be supplied. It's a straightforward and bold prayer. You know what you need, and the supply is urgently needed. That's the heart of these words, the noun form and the verb form. This presents a good reason for having at least a general knowledge that there are various words indicating prayer and knowing the nuances of them. Take the noun form, for example. It occurs in the Greek 19 times. And of those 19 occurrences, the King James Version translates deesis as prayer. 12 times it does that. 6 times as supplication, which would be more accurate to the word, and 1 time as request, which is also accurate to the word. So when you're reading along in your King James Version and you come across one of those 12 times where deesis is translated as prayer, you're going to miss the fact that you're reading about an urgent request where the one praying knows what they need and they beseech God to give it to them quickly. They need it, and they need it right now. Just on BibleGateway.com, this is interesting. There are over 60 English translations that you can read. And now, there's a lot of quotes about, I counted 60. So you can see how helpful it is to be able to check the words for yourself. Among the English translations listed on BibleGateway.com, DC's is translated prayer, supplication, petition, request, asking, telling, pleading, beseeching, and beg. You know, many of us use online Bibles, and some of the sites are wonderfully convenient to quickly see the actual word or words behind a given English translation. Like when you're reading along and you read the word prayer in the verse, and you say to yourself, I wonder what that word for prayer is. Well, you can, many of the versions make it very easy for you, just one click, and you can find out what that word is, and you continue on with your reading. You're not interrupting your time in the Word necessarily. BlueLetterBible.org is a very simple website for reading and, you know, checking out words as you move along. And with something like that, you're able to be as brief as you like, or honest to God, you could spend all day. And I like simple. I enjoy delving deep into the mental contemplations of a scripture. But as for study aids, I enjoy simple. I want to get as much information as quickly as I can. And then I want to meditate upon it with my mind, with that holy gift of Holy Spirit working within me to flush things up to the surface. You know, we pray for understanding. We pray to be enlightened. And so if something like that can help you, I know I certainly enjoy it. It keeps it simple. Years ago, I got hooked on the online Bibles because I could expand the page to make the print as giant as I wanted. And it was very enjoyable just to read along, not having to squint or read over notes that I might have had. Then in talking to fellow believers, many of them shared the helpful tools that they used. And it kind of really opened me up to a lot of enjoyment for studying. And I repeat this for emphasis. And honestly, I'm going to keep on repeating it. I am not endeavoring to complicate our prayer lives or add rules. There's no protocol. You bring a humble, an honest, a reverent heart, and those are the rules. You don't have to know one Greek word, not even one Greek word or definition, to talk to the Father. God knows every heart, and He hears and answers. On the other hand, I am endeavoring to place before you, for your consideration, a closer look at the various kinds of prayer the first century believers brought to God, and then to read verses in the Scripture to promote an alert and lively prayer life with our Father, so that it is easy for us to be God-minded from the time we wake up till the time we lay our head on the pillow to go to sleep at night. So we're going to read some verses where this type of prayer is recorded, this urgent request, this supplication. Again, we don't always have the words to the prayers, but by knowing the heart of the different words, we can know the characteristics of their prayers, and as a result, we can gain some insight, maybe not particulars, but we can gain insight as to their situations. You know, for me, it makes the records come alive. Each of the words offer kind of a backdrop for the tone of their prayerful occasion. So we read... we read the record in in Acts 4, verses 29 through 31, and I'd like to reread that again today. It's the first occurrence of the verb diemai, and it's a pleading, a beseeching, a begging, asking with a sense of urgency for a need to be supplied. It's a straightforward, and it's a bold way of making our request, yet our heart is genuine and respectful. We're not ordering God around. We're not commanding in the sense of demanding in a negative tone. You know, but the need here in Acts 4:29 through 31, it was serious. It was urgent. And Peter knew exactly what they needed in the way of God's supply. So we'll see what this definition looks like as we reread these verses in Acts. In the New King James, it reads, "Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." You know, he's saying, right now, Lord, at this present time, we need this. Verse 30, "By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, this is the record of Peter and John following the healing of the man who was born lame in his legs. He was born that way. And this miracle got the attention of everyone, but it infuriated the religious leaders. Unfortunately, those leaders could not publicly admonish and punish Peter and John because the people had witnessed this miracle, and they also heard Peter speak in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:4, it records that because of all this, about 5,000 people believed. So throughout all the menacing threats from those leaders, you can read the record yourself. It's a fantastic record. Peter remained fearlessly bold in his responses to them. He didn't mince words at even one point. Yet we see by his prayer life, he knew He already knew those men meant business, and they were incited with evil, with jealousies. He knew they would need even more boldness if they were going to continue speaking the word of God with a free and fearless confidence, with a cheerful courage and with assurance. There was an urgency to his request. He knew what they needed, and he made supplication. He deomied for the supply. Another occurrence of deomai is in Acts 10, in verse 1, New King James. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regimen. Cornelius was a Roman. He was trained by Romans. And in this record, he was stationed in Caesarea to command a division of Roman army consisting of 100 fellow Roman soldiers. Thus, they called it the Italian regiment. The King James calls it the Italian band. And their assignment was to guard the headquarters of Rome's Herod Agrippa I from any... They were like bodyguards for the temple, the whole area, the whole headquarters. And they guarded it from any rebellious uprisings from among the people at Caesarea, namely the Jews. Verse 2, he was a devout man and one who reverenced or feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now, being Roman-born, Cornelius was involved in idolatry. But while in Caesarea, he forsook idolatry. He turned from it, and he became a devout follower of God, the God of the Jews. So he was devout to God, but he did not have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And, you know, living in his situation, he's looking at the Roman headquarters, how those people lived, how they exerted their influence and their power. And he looked at the people on the street, the simple Jews who also, many of them worship God. And he was generous in his giving to those in need, loving God and loving his neighbor. And you know what? That must have put him in a very precarious situation. Because here you are serving at the headquarters in a protective manner. And then you're upholding all the Jewish worship. I mean, that had to put him in crosshairs or however he handled that. But he would have had to handle that. You can see that. So he turned from idolatry. He became a devout follower of God. And it says in the last part of verse 2, he prayed to God always. And the word for prayed is deomai. You know, he was a man in a position to see everyday life at the Roman headquarters, as well as the way the local people lived and how they were governed by these idolaters. You know, he had his own family, and he had the interest and care for the 100 men who served with him. You know, he did a lot of things in a day. He wore a lot of hats. As far as responsibilities. And when you consider the uniqueness of his exposure to these two lifestyles and his responsibilities, it would come as no surprise that his prayers were urgent. Circumstances could change daily, even moment to moment. You know, the Roman rulers were no prize package. Talk about wars and rumors of wars. So this verse says, he made these urgent requests to God daily, and daily means continually or constantly. He went about his day, he saw situations everywhere he looked, and he was in communication with God all the time. He was this God-minded, devout believer to the very extent of his knowledge to be that way. And I find God's response to Cornelius is very intriguing. Here you have this devout man doing everything he knows to do concerning the true God, but he does not know Jesus. But his prayers from a devout heart were acceptable to God, and I think that is just stunning. Of course, his day was coming when he was going to learn all about Jesus. Cornelius had all the pureness of heart, and he acted in accordance with the religious rules he knew. You know, he was a faithful and humble man. He reverenced God and was continually making supplication for God's supply for the needs he observed and knew about. And the record continues, and this is great news. Peter arrives on the scene and leads him and his household to Jesus. And that is just a wonderful record. Next, we read in Ephesians 6. And this record we're going to read from the King James. It's a little easier to have all the words line up because the King James was taken from these words that we're talking about. Chapter 6 sets the true way to live righteously in all our earthly relationships. And summing it up in verse 5 through 7, that in all of our relationships in life, we maintain our singleness of heart and motive, remembering that the things we do them as though we were doing them to serve Christ. We do not get divided in our hearts. We don't allow ourselves to be tempted to focus on pleasing people, no matter who they are. But we do know that we do God's will from our hearts. And we have the peace, we have the promise that people will be blessed, they will be pleased, when we do things out of our single-mindedness to God, our single-mindedness to Christ, and our service in His stead. Then in verses 10 through 17, still Ephesians 6, it becomes about the urgency to put on the armor of God and to stand and withstand in this evil day, this evil time. Verse 18, we'll read, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This verse is loaded, and it's just kind of one of those mega verses where everything is just brought to the highest peak of importance. And it mentions prayer, and it is for all the saints. We are God's children in this evil day, and here is the instruction in righteousness for our prayer lives concerning one another. So first, let's identify the words for prayer that are used in this verse. In the opening phrase, we read, praying always. And it's the first word we looked at way back, prosukamai. It is the verb form, meaning we're doing it. It's the most general term for prayer directed to God. It's talking to God. It includes praise, thanksgiving, urgent requests like we're looking at today. It can move in and out in any direction. It's talking to God. What do you want to talk to Him about today? Bring your honest and your pure heart before Him. Submit yourself under His mighty hand and speak with Him. He's your Father. So we're God-minded and we're talking to Him throughout the day. The next little phrase, with all prayer. Now, this is the noun form, prosuke, which, again, it has the same flavoring. It's just the subject form rather than the verb form. then the next, and supplication. And here we have the word deesis, D-E-E-S-I-S, which is the noun form for those requests that are urgent and straightforward. They articulate to God the need that we recognize, and they ask for Him to supply in a very straightforward manner. And then we read supplication for all the saints. Again, the word deesis. Reading verse 18 again with this understanding, praying always with all prayer, talking to God, and supplication in the Spirit, where our whole insides are vested with prayer and our understanding, prayer in the Spirit, to make known to Him this urgent request and to beseech His answer, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So, not only do we earnestly talk to God and share our hearts about anything and everything, but we also pleadingly and reverently, beseechingly make supplication for the urgency of the needs of how many saints? All of them. But it says we also are to watch, which is another verb. And that just means we've got something else to do. Literally, the word used here means to be sleepless, to be awake. But metaphorically, it's used to be watchful or to be intent, focused upon a thing. It carries with it the care to be circumspect, attentive, and ready. We remain in a wakeful frame of mind as opposed to that spiritual apathy or slowness. And lastly, we see the word perseverance, which means we remain persistent. We're there. We're in attendance. And it's for all the saints, not just the saints who we know and love. There are saints everywhere on this earth. There are other beloved ones that we may not ever know in the flesh. But we're instructed to pray prayers to God for them and to make these urgent requests for their need. And, you know, we know their needs. The needs for believers are the same everywhere. We need boldness to speak the word with the manner of our lives. I'm not just saying we go out and start yakking. Our lives, to make known our lives, which is the written epistle, and to speak wisely at the time and place and at the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't forget wisdom in all of this. You have to put the word together. But we are instructed to pray prayers to God for them, all the saints, whether we know them or not. It reading this just caused me this week to sit and think about saints everywhere. I mean, I think about saints in Indiana and Ohio and Massachusetts and Colorado and Texas and Iowa. I think about saints in a lot of places. I think about saints in Paris. I think about saints in the DRC, the African countries. But then I started thinking, those are saints that I know about. I've got to up my prayer request to include all the saints, because they are missing out on the power of my prayers, what I can bring to the table. And we know that everyone, regardless of who they are, where they live, anything about them, if they're believers, they need boldness to live and to stand in this day and time. In fact, reading in verse 19, Paul adds himself onto the prayer list. Now, of course, he's a saint, but he says, "And for me, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me." He wanted the Holy Spirit. He wanted God's answer to be in his mouth. He says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly." That's with a cheerful confidence. It's not just, "Look at me, make my day." Not bad at all. To make known the mystery of the gospel. What a powerful yet tender, intimate subject. He needed the wisdom of God. He needed utterance to be given to him so that he could open his mouth with a cheerful confidence to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul was an ambassador in bonds at this time, and ponder that plight to speak boldly as we ought to speak. So I'd like to close for today with Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. We read that. We worked these verses, but it's just the promise here is so wonderful. Be anxious for nothing. Don't have that worrisome care that once you say amen, you're still thinking about the downside of this whole thing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So in light of our work today, think through your life. Even when our lives seem similar, you know what? They're very different. It's different people, different mixes of things. No matter the exact details of your circumstances, remain God-minded. Talk to Him throughout your waking hours. Be ever mindful for His faithfulness to His never-changing nature of love and light, for His all-power, for His all-knowledge, for His everywhere present, that be thankful that you can bring your cares to Him. I mean, once we do that, it's done. It's done. The burden is lifted, and He will lead us through. When urgent needs arise in our life, immediately go to Him for His divine supply. Be relieved from the cares and threats of the world, because He's promised. He has promised, and He is faithful. He has promised to guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So be watchful, be persistent, praying and making supplication for all the saints. Have a blessed week. Our love and prayers your way.